Hello and welcome to Silverlight Studies, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Gavin.
This is a podcast where I talk in full spoilers about the Cosmere. And sometimes I have a friend along.
Yeah, and I talk too about the Cosmere.
You do. I say sometimes I have a friend along. Most of the time. I think you've been on every episode but one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Most of the time I have a friend along. I only did the one episode, which was my immediate thoughts of The Lost Metal. But man, we've gone on a journey.
Yes. Yeah, and no, for sure.
God, we're here. This month, we're talking The Lost Metal. But we're going to jump into it in a second. But I'm just going to lay the structure out for the listeners so they know, like, we're not going to talk spoilers right away. We're just going to give our overall thoughts on the book and Era 2 as a whole. Then we're going to jump into spoilers after that. When we jump into spoilers, this is not going to be like previous reviews or retrospectives, as I've been calling them, where it's been Mistborn spoilers and then Cosmere spoilers. It's Cosmere spoilers the whole time, baby. Like, you can't talk about this book, I think. Maybe if you haven't read the rest of the Cosmere, you could talk about it.
Yeah, you could talk about it in very, very, I don't know, like, you couldn't talk much about it.
No, but, like, if you have any degree of context, it's almost impossible to talk about this book without adding that extra context into it, right?
Right.
So, when we get into that in a few minutes, that will be full Cosmere spoilers if you have not read, and I mean, I'm talking, I don't think there's a corner of the Cosmere that this doesn't touch, so, like, I'm throwing the full, like, we're going to talk about whatever. If it's been published, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is really the start of Silverlight Studies.
Yeah, it really is. This is what this podcast has been leading to.
Yes.
This is the dark road to Silverlight Studies. all right, Gavin.
Yeah.
What did you think of Mistborn, The Lost Metal?
Okay. I'll be real with you. I think my thoughts and my feelings on the book were a lot more positive as I was reading it and right whenever I finished the book.
Okay.
I think it's a good book. I think it's a solid, I mean, clearly it's a solid entry in the Cosmere as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that there was a lot good about this book. The more I ruminate just kind of on certain things that the book did and certain directions it went, the more I get a little annoyed. And I mean, first of all, I think it has the best prologue of any of the Era 2 stuff.
Yeah.
I think that every character that we got here in this book had to some degree a really satisfying end. Obviously, but you know, we're not going to talk super spoilers right now, but for the most part I was fairly satisfied where you know with what this book gave us, and in general my thoughts and feelings are mostly positive. And I mean, many of the things that we have going on in the book that I didn't really like, the more I think about it, are more so spoiler territory stuff. I'll just say for right now, Era 2 and just this book as a book end to Era 2, I think it served its purpose, and I think it was fitting for what Era 2 was.
Okay.
And I mean, that's all I'll say right now before we jump into spoilers.
So if you guys have listened to my episode that I did right off finishing reading the book, I don't know, Gavin, did you have a chance to listen to any of what I had said?
I listened to the whole thing.
So I felt a lot more positive. I'm going to echo exactly what you just said. I recorded that, I think, 2 days after I finished the book. I said, at least the ending part, I was recording as I was reading, and then the last section was like, I think I'd finished it 2 days earlier or something. And I was still really high on it.
Oh yeah.
And I think I'm still high on this book. It's my second favorite Era 2 book behind Shadows.
Yeah.
I liked it more than Bands and Alloy.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's a satisfying ending to Era 2 that I'm disappointed with certain aspects of. And if we have time at the end, we're going to talk about the spoiler stream that Sanderson just had, that actually some of the stuff he said in the spoiler stream is what I'm disappointed about.
Okay.
Some of the stuff he was just saying during the stream, I was like, that should have been the book. Or we should have learned this stuff in the book. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But we'll talk about that later. I've mellowed on it. Like, I've gone down on it as I have gotten further away from it, where there were, like, I think as an entry as of the Cosmere, this is, like...
This is definitely, as a Cosmere entry, this is the point where, like we were saying kind of in the intro of here, you can't really talk much about this book without knowing everything else pretty much in the Cosmere. This is all, I don't want to say this is the end game. This is like the Captain America Civil War.
Of the Cosmere. No, you're right. And I was talking to my friend, actually. I was texting back and forth with my friend, and we were just talking about writers and storytellers. And he asked if I considered Sanderson to be one of the greatest of all time. And I said, not yet.
Sometimes.
I think sometimes. I think he can be. Mm-hmm. And I said, actually, this is going to be funny, because even though I have a lot of problems with this book, this book is what started the conversation in my head of Sanderson could be one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is the first book where the Cosmere was the Cosmere. And mm-hmm. I suddenly got what he's been built. Like, he pulls the curtain back. And it's no longer, this isn't a Mistborn book, really. Like, it is, but it's not. It's a Cosmere book. Mm-hmm. In a way that I think it brings everything together, and you kind of see, okay, this is what he's been seeding for 20 years almost. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, if he can wrap up Stormlight all right, like the first arc, the first five. If Stormlight 5 is good, I'd consider him one of the greatest of all time. But
yes.
This started the conversation in my head because, like I keep saying, there's parts of this book that, like, I think it's a satisfying end, but also disappointing in ways. And, mm-hmm. but I think that what this book does, if you are caught up on the Cosmere, is like a feeling that I've only felt when watching the Marvel movies, like you said, when everything comes together and you're like, holy fuck, I invested all this time into it and it mattered.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a sense of payoff to the Cosmere overall in this book that makes me feel like, okay, the ride has been worth it. And now mm-hmm. we're going to start paying dividends almost, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I would say, I mean, it's books like this, and like, I agree with what you're saying with, you know, this can easily start the conversation of, does this, you know, is he a GOAT now, you know?
Yeah,
But at the same time, like we're saying with some of the disappointments here, I think that there are plenty of things in this book that make me think this is why he's not the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But, you know, also with this book in mind too, now, you know, I think people get kind of frustrated with... let's just say Kingdom Hearts fans, you know, and they'll say, you know, why do y'all always care so much about, you know, the order in which you play the games and stuff? And this is kind of the point now where I'm like, okay, guys, really?
Yeah.
You're just go to Elantris, read
Elantris,
go to, you know, Mistborn or Warbreaker, whichever one was next, and just go through it in publication order, because these breadcrumbs, everything that has been leading up to here, like, you will have such a satisfying feeling whenever certain things happen that have to do with the Cosmere in this book. Like, you're going to really feel satisfied going through it in a specific way, in my opinion. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that feeling that you get with the Marvel movies of just like, man, I was there. I was in the theater with everyone. We all got it at the same time. Like, it's so great. It's so amazing. But yeah, I agree with you.
We're going to get into full Cosmere spoilers, guys. Now we're talking about everything. So get away now if you have not read everything. So where I want to begin, okay, is I want to begin talking about the plot structure for this book, because it's very... This book, the plot structure for this book feels more like a Stormlight book, and where you can see the paths. Everybody's together, and then we split off into two groups, and then we split off into three groups, and then they all come back together at the end. You can see the fabric behind what Sanderson is writing in this book, because we have them all together, then they split up, Waxwayne, Morrissey, and the Ghostbloods happening while Steris stays behind, and then it splits up into Waxwayne, Morrissey, and the Ghostbloods, and Steris. So,
Morrissey's entire arc felt just like I was reading like a Shallan arc, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It also feels like, I mean, I said, I think in when I was talking about it in my first episode about the book, it felt like Secret History. Mm-hmm. It felt like there would like in, it felt like 5 years ago, Sanderson would have published the Morrissey and Ghostbloods part of this book as Secret History 2.
Yeah.
And it would have come out the same day as Lost Metal, and it would have been like, this was what Morrissey was doing in the background the whole time, you know? But in this case, it's just, nope, just people from Elantris are here. Aethers are in the story now. Mm-hmm. Kelsier is here. Like, it just, it throws everything at you. So how did you feel about how the storylines were broken up into those kind of three separate paths?
Yeah, as a book structure, I think that is a... I think Sanderson has really kind of found his groove with Stormlight. I think he really understands why people have such a high regard in the storytelling that Stormlight does. And I think he's starting to kind of move that direction, it seems, now with all of his books. I mean, I'm not going to predict that in Elantris 2 or whatever, we're going to have each character be super set. I mean, well, granted, in Elantris, that's kind of how that book is structured as well.
Yeah.
He definitely has this sort of style, and I think it works really well. There are some moments where, in this book in particular, with the pacing in certain characters, I guess in their arcs, some are just so much more interesting to me than others. Uh-huh.
Which
so,
ones?
So obviously I'm really interested in like the whole Ghostblood arc. Uh-huh. That was incredibly intriguing. Almost every single time that was happening, it had my fully like undivided attention. I was like, okay, yeah, what else are we gonna see here? What other little Cosmere clues? What am I gonna learn about shards? And you know, are we gonna learn more about like Ad Nauseam and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, we get more Kelsier stuff with all of that. So that, in my opinion, was some of the most interesting stuff. But then you have, like, Stereses, you know? And man, like, I just felt like everyone was so, like, wow. Like, from the first Wax and Wayne book up through the third, Stereses went from someone who was really like grating to me to being one of the most well-developed characters in the story. I can't wait to see what she does in the last book of this, you know, era. And I also can't wait to see what she does, you know, like, I mean, she was there.
You still can't wait to see what she does, right?
Exactly.
So what I will say about the Stereses plotline, and I think I said this in the first thing I did, I do think this is my favorite version of Stereses. And
oh yeah, like the maternal Stereses. Yes, this is awesome.
And just the way she's handling things, like I don't really like the storyline that she's in, but her point of view of that storyline made it enjoyable to read. This was my favorite experience reading Stereses POVs. I really liked the way that she was presented in this book. That being said, like you said, she didn't really do anything, and her storyline is almost like she keeps starting to do something, but then it's not really going to help. And then her storyline also has this weird part where all of a sudden it's like, Era 3 is coming, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Because, like, we're going to talk about the spoiler stream later on, but I'll tell you right now, Sanderson was asked multiple times, hey, you told us before that if we didn't know how the medallions worked by the end of Era 2, we could bug you to just answer it for us. And he said, I'm going to just tell you guys how they work, but I didn't have the notes on him for the spoiler stream.
Okay.
He's like, but you don't have to wait until Era 3. I'm going to lay it all out for you.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to get this wrong. It's just not right this second. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's part where, like, I really thought the Malwish were going to be, like, a big part of this book when I was getting into it. And I mean, I think where Era 2 fails and disappoints me is the fact that it was not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can feel the plot stopping in certain places because it's not time yet.
Yep.
You know? And I think you feel that the most in Steris' plotline, where things mm-hmm. come to a head, and then it's like somebody hit pause on the DVD because we have to wait 5 years for this book to come out where this the rest of this is going to sure. happen.
Yeah.
You know? And I think where it is a satisfying ending is moving over to Wax and Wayne's plotline. I really liked Wax and Wayne in this book. Now, I didn't like the antagonist that much, although I thought Fake Wax and Fake Wayne were fine.
Yeah. Well, but even, I mean, I know, we'll Telson, I know you're probably you know? About, yeah, I know you're about yeah. to talk about that too, yeah. but all in all, I mean, as far as antagonists go, I mean, the whole third act of this and the Sanderlanch uh-huh. was uh-huh. really, really wild, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All
it's
happening
like half the
at
book.
The, yeah, exactly. And it's somehow really wild yeah. with having like no real antagonist,
yeah.
you know? And yeah. like you're saying with this sort of bridge to Era 3, I mean, I know we'll talk about this more, but really that's just kind of, that's really how this entire book kind of feels to me. The more I look back at it, I'm like, this is mm-hmm. really just a, this is just something to hold this over. You know,
yeah.
it really, it, the more I think about it, the more I think of Era 2 as a whole, the more I start to realize, like, man, this really did not start out as something that Sanderson, like, really wanted to, like, do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely started off, like, he wanted to show off what Scadrial would be like, and then, I mean, I know he's got these plans for other eras, and I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that Era 3... Now that he has sort of set everything up to kind of be like, okay, here's Era 3. I really feel like Era 3 is going to be like
I'm excited.
Show. Yeah, I
think I'm excited.
Era 3 is going to be
3.
Really cool. It just felt like we, you know, we for some reason got this very confused Era 2 with a lot of really cool stuff, but with a lot of like, I don't know. It just feels like Era 2 kind of has an identity disorder, and
yeah.
it's a little obvious to me at least. So.
I don't know. I mean, at the convention, they were talking about, you know, people want there to be 16 Mistborn books, and if I add yeah. three, you know, cyberpunk books, we'll get there. Mm-hmm. And after Era 2, I'm kind of like, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't add anything else. Like, if anything, write two more Secret History books and make those the last three books in the Mistborn. And then have that bring it up to 16.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like... Because these four books succeed, in my opinion, as it does right by the characters. I thought it was a satisfying ending for the characters, except for, like, you know, Steris' end is satisfying. What she does in the book isn't super satisfying. But I think that we get to a good conclusion for everybody, where I was satisfied with it.
I will say, just as far as characters' endings mm-hmm. go, and I know I've seen some other chat in the Discord and hearing your thoughts about it in your little podcast.
Mm-hmm.
In your little pod. I didn't mean for yeah. that to sound yeah. condescending. But...
No. My hour and 40-minute yeah, yeah, pod. Yeah.
yeah. No, just I know a lot of people have felt satisfying and emotional at Wayne's ending.
Mm,
and, you
uh-huh.
know, I personally did not feel
okay.
very emotional during that at all.
Really? Okay.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, on one hand, it's like, yeah, it's Wayne's character. He's comedic relief. Yeah, sure, he's going to go out kind of in a funny way. And, you know, he has this last conversation with Sazed, and, you know, he's like, it was the biggest damn explosion I've ever seen. And he's just like, and, it, yeah. what, and I held back. That's yeah. so crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of yeah. like, yeah, I don't know. Like, some of it kind of made me smile, but I didn't necessarily feel like, aw. You're like, he's gone now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because I feel like also just Wayne in general in this book, I've personally felt like he wasn't as funny in this book as he
yeah.
was in the other.
Well, he was a lot sadder in this book, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was a really sad storyline for him. Although, and I mean, I brought it up in my episode, but I think the ending, the last two, like the last four or five sentences, last like paragraph mm-hmm. for Wayne... Mm-hmm. is like just one of my favorite pieces of writing that Sanderson has done.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne's perspective of stretching off into the beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that. I can
yeah,
see
yeah, getting
why
that perspective of the beyond, I think was really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was kind of just more so intrigued of sort of like
mm-hmm.
what was happening more
yeah.
more than just my feelings of Wayne. 'Cause I mean, I'm also, my mindset is, okay, I mean, this is the ending of the book. I mean, who's going to die? Who's going to live? Yeah. Like, how is this all going to be resolved? And it felt kind of clear to me that this was the direction that Wayne was going. So
it's pretty heavily telegraphed.
Yeah, so I kind of was just, I don't know, maybe my mind just kind of auto set itself to be prepared for something like that. So I didn't feel all that much about it. But yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say it's inappropriate to say that it wasn't, like, I mean, it was a fitting end, you know.
Yeah.
I felt for his character, the way he went, the stuff he was talking about, I thought it was handled fine. You know,
yeah.
I just didn't think that it was like this big emotional moment that I know a lot of people did feel. Mm-hmm.
I can get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the weird thing about this book, right, shifting into characters, is this book, it feels like Wayne's book. And in a weird way for Wax, this entire book feels like an epilogue. And I mean, it kind of gives it to you at the beginning where Wax is like, I'm done. Like, my character arc's over. I'm good now. I just need to go through the rest of the story, where, like, feels kind of weird, I think. I don't know if you felt that way, where I just, like, was, like, I felt like I was reading the beginning of the book, and the book told me, don't expect a big arc for Wax. He's done. He's had his character development. He's just along for the ride for the rest of this.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I felt like I didn't really care much about Wax either, you know? Just because, you know, we had our big... Really, I think the first three books in this era, as far as Wax characters goes, you know, in the first book, we see him try to put this life behind him, but then he's pulled back into it. And then he can't help himself but just stay into this life of being, you know, being a vigilante, essentially. And then by the end of book three, he gets married, and now he's, like, fulfilling his duties as...
Uh-huh.
You know, his position and royalty or whatever. And yeah, like you're saying, at the beginning of this book, all throughout it, I mean, you see this guy, he has settled down at the beginning of the book and is just, like, I don't know, thrown into other things that he's like, man, I'm trying to not have to do this stuff anymore, yet I can't really escape it. And so as far as his character goes, it was a little weird just to kind of see him be thrown into these situations while you fully see in him that he also is like, I don't want to be doing this, you know?
Yeah.
I would rather be spending time with my wife and kids, you know?
Yeah.
And on one hand, it's like, I like that about him, but given how crazy this book is with, you know, all the Cosmere stuff, and he kind of becomes a Mistborn, it's
okay,
kind of like
that's my biggest disappointment in the whole book is the Mistborn thing. I'm
the
not
Mistborn
gonna lie to you.
Thing, and it's kind of like, but it like maybe you feel this way. It just feels like that's such a reward for someone who definitely seems like he's past that. Like if he were to become a Mistborn, it should have been a while ago. Like what's he gonna do as a Mistborn now?
Nothing.
Exactly.
He's not going to do anything with it because he doesn't throughout the whole book.
Right.
I mean, he does, but he doesn't realize that he's doing it.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm sure on a reread, once he kind of inhales, what is it, Lirasium? Is that what
Lirasium,
it's called?
Yeah.
Lirasium, you know, maybe then I might like it a little bit more because I'll see little breadcrumbs, but I don't know. Just kind of thinking back on it now, I'm still in this mindset of just like, he didn't really do anything with it in the first place, and now that he's definitely going to be dead by era three, it's like, what's the point of making him a Mistborn? I don't know.
I think it's to so that more Mistborn can be around in era three. I think he's restarting the line. Because and they also talk about how Stairs wants another kid, right?
Oh yeah.
So have a full Mistborn child. I think. I think that's the purpose of that. I think you're gonna like it even less on a reread because how I felt about it was I kept waiting for it to matter, and at the end of the book, it was like. It didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, Wayne does something really cool, which I'm fine with. Like, I liked Wayne's ending. But what I didn't like is how Harmony's like, yeah, Wax has been OP this whole time, but he just didn't know it. And I was like, why are you just telling me this in, like, a conversation? Why isn't this, like, a moment? Like,
and there's, like, only 50 pages left. Like, what's happening? Yeah.
Like, if this was a Stormlight book, right, it'd be like, Wax swears next ideal and he powers up for a big, you know, triumphant final fight. And that doesn't happen in this book, which maybe is like a subversion of what you would expect from Sanderson, because Wax doesn't get that moment of I'm gonna power up and go wild. But it's I think it's very well set up that the book has the opposite problem as most other books, where most other books you get to the twist at the end and you're like, oh wow, I did not see that coming at all. I don't think there's like any setup, like I don't think it's well seated. And I'm just talking about books in general, not Sanderson. But the problem with this one is it's very well seated throughout the book, and that it kind of falls flat on its face at the end, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and that's my, I think, given this entire book, like you're saying, as far as Era 2 mystery and intrigue goes, you get to the end of the book and it falls flat on its face. The only real things that you're like really invested in as far as like questions or, you know, it's a lot of Cosmere related stuff. Mm-hmm. And even still, a lot of that's just kind of laid out plain and clear.
Yeah.
There's like not much room for actual like wonder, because as soon as you wonder like, oh, well, what about, and then it's just immediately answered and you're like, oh, okay, cool. So this whole book is kind of full of just like, am I about to feel like really smart? And it's like, no. Okay, cool. Because it's like all just explained.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
I don't know. My feelings are very, it's like a roller coaster when it comes to this book.
So for Wax, I enjoyed reading Wax go through this episode of 24, and you know, at least when the book started, it told me that I should not expect a big arc for Wax, so I wasn't expecting one, and I went through the rest of it like, you know, I'm reading Wax go through this episode of like, or through this Liam Neeson movie or whatever, right?
Sure.
Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, and I also think, too, now that I'm thinking about it, it just kind of crossed my mind. I remember last time we were kind of talking about each
book.
What
the genre sort of, would be?
Yeah. And definitely wasn't, like, Cowboys and Indians.
No. And but I thought it was going to be, like, a Civil War story, and I was totally wrong, too.
it was a little Lovecraftian.
It was like, a little bit.
And, like, especially, like, towards the end, like, with the boat and all this stuff. Like, I was like, oh, okay. There's a little bit of, like, a gothic feel to this, like... Okay, I kind of like this.
No, I was just saying, I think part of what I really like about the feel of it, though, is also it feels very similar to Shadows, where it's this, like, thriller. Everything's happening very fast. There's not, like, a lot of time passing.
Yeah.
I liked that, at least.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was a little hard to really pinpoint, but...
Yeah.
Other books were like, okay, this is Indiana Jones, this is Sherlock Holmes, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, this one was interesting.
Wayne, we kind of talked about, we're on kind of different sides of that one, which I don't think is uncommon, really. I think there's definitely going to be some people out there that are like, not super, where the ending for Wayne didn't super work for them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily saying that like it didn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
I just felt like even with his ending, I just felt like there was so much that just kind of fell flat on its face. Mm-hmm. Really, as far as the ending goes, the stuff that really made me like, whoa, it was the epilogues, you know?
Yeah.
But with his ending being like the end of the final, like proper chapter of the book, I just kind of was like, so without epilogues, like that's it. Okay, whatever.
So here's my question actually then. Do you think, like, we always talk about how, oh man, Sandra Lanches are so crazy, they go on for so long and they're so exciting. Do you think this book's went on for too long? Because I think it did. I think that's part of the problem, is by the time I got to the boat, I was kind of exhausted and ready for it to end. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, like, we've had like four different red herrings where it's been like, you thought this was the weapon, but it was really this, but it was really this, but it was really this, but really they're just gonna ram this boat into the harbor.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, all right, let's get done.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of that, too, it might have to do with the fact that we have it kind of separated out like a Stormlight book.
Yeah.
And with what you're saying, too, we're like, if we just had taken Marcy's story and kind of ripped it out of this book and instead made it its own separate little short story or novella or whatever, I felt like maybe then in that regard, we would maybe feel like this book had a more evenly paced Sanderlanch, but because we had all these different perspectives happening all at once, instead of kind of like this big conjoined thing with everyone, I mean, it kind of did, but it kind of didn't. It felt like it was just really separated. And so it was like each time that we got to a Wax and Wayne chapter in this Sanderlanch, it just like, I don't know. Like, I think it was kind of like a TV thing, you know? It's like waiting for the next week for the next episode to come out. But it's like the last 10 episodes are all like the big final battle. And it's like you have to wait a week for each episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of how I felt about it. So I felt it was a little long-winded for sure.
Yeah. And I think that I felt like there was one too many twists on what the bad guy's plan was.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, and the final twist is that they're incompetent. Kind of. Right? The final twist is actually we couldn't figure it out. So we're just going to ram a boat into the docks. Like, you know, which, okay, I think it works, but when the whole book is setting up, like, what's the set's plan? Like, they're so ahead of us. What is it? And I feel like the boat ending is just a little bit like you go from we're going to launch a missile to we're going to run a boat into the docks.
I think that the boat ending is probably that this was such an anticlimactic ending to Era 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the boat ending, for sure. Yeah.
I think it just goes on one too many times. If it ended on that rooftop, I think I'd be okay. But then it was like, we got to go to one more place. And I was like, we do?
Yeah.
All right. In Wax and Wayne's storyline. All right. Fake Wax, fake Wayne. I'm okay with them. Okay. They're lame. Like they kind of fall. Like they're not super exciting villains. But I thought Fake Wayne was funny. I liked Fake Wayne more than I liked Fake Wax, and I kind of liked the moment where they were like, "We gotta fight each other's mate." You know?
Yeah.
Like I thought that was.
Yeah,
cool.
There was the point where I think what was it? Fake Wayne was like, "Can you say something that starts with the letter H or whatever?" Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, literally just exactly what Wayne did one time. As characters for Fake Wax, Fake Wayne. Fake Wax, I completely forgot about Fake Wax. I felt like Fake Wax to me in this book was like Telson in book 3, you know? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, completely forgot, you know? Like, oh, yeah, they're a thing.
Well, I don't think they should have been fought 3 times is, I think, really the problem.
Yeah.
Is, like, they're fun the first time, and then the second time. Like, I think if you take out the encounter in, like, the cave, and instead fight the first time, go the rest of the book, we see them again at the very end, I think that would have been okay. But, like, by the time you get to the tower and you're like, these fucking guys are back? Really? Like,
yeah, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's
maybe
like
I'm
Lesion.
Just...
It's like Lesion in Rhythm of War, where I'm like, this dude is still coming back for more?
I think whenever, I don't know, in every single time that they do come back and they fight them, it doesn't feel like the stakes are any higher. It just feels like they're just back again and now we got to fight them again.
Yeah.
Yeah, super, super dull, antagonists in this book.
Yeah. And I wish that I could say that it's okay, because when we get to the true antagonist, it's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
But oh boy, Telson. I could see what Sanderson was trying to do with Telson. I think there's parts of it that work, but I think the real problem is Telson does not feel set up at all to me.
No, I definitely, I recommend going back and just listening to me and you talk about Telson and how she was so anticlimactic at the end of book 3, and how in the prologue of that, we really don't see much of anything leading her to be where she is. And now we find out that, whoa, she's actually way more important than we ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
And it feels definitely not earned in any, in any regard.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me. And this is a thing where we'll talk about it in a little bit. I'll leave the Telson thing on. It didn't work for me. And then if we have a chance to talk about some of the spoiler stream stuff, I can expand on Telson. But Telson Telson didn't work for me.
Nope.
How'd you feel about Marcy in this book?
I think I really enjoyed following her character.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think Marcy's character in this book felt like, I think also we really were expecting Marcy to kind of be the
way more.
I thought she was going to be like the MVP of this book. But instead we get a side story of her following the Ghostbloods and, you know, characters from other planets in the Cosmere. And I thought the story and the arc was interesting, but as a character herself, I agree. I think that, I was underwhelmed by, I don't know, I felt like she didn't really accomplish nearly as much as I thought that she was going to. There are some things that she does that I find commendable, but also a little annoying, like not joining the Ghostbloods.
So that's it. I think her not joining the Ghostbloods makes sense in her character. The reason given, like, to me works. My problem is, and this comes back to, this era was not a part of the original outline for the Cosmere, and you can feel it, where I felt like throughout the books, she was set up to be an important person in the future of the Cosmere. Like, I thought that's where the character was going. And then it felt like at the end of the book, it was like, she wasn't in the original outline, so we have to end her story here. She doesn't join the Ghostbloods. She doesn't start to explore the Cosmere. She doesn't become a more important character. Like, she goes on to do stuff in Ellendale, and so I'm sure Mayor Combs will be mentioned in Era 3. Like, oh, the mayor that did all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we're going to get that in Era 3, but I really loved Marcy, and I really loved all of her stuff throughout Era 2. So this, again, is just continuing my problem with the book and Era 2 overall, which is that it wasn't planned, and it feels like Sanderson wasn't willing to let this shake up in his plan affect the rest of the plan. Right. It felt like by the end of the shakeup, we had to resolve things back to where the plan could retake its course that it was always going to. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Marcy can't join into the rest of the plan now, right? She needs to be confined into this story that I added in.
Yeah. And it just kind of makes you think, like, well, maybe if it were anyone else, would they actually be a Ghostblood? Like, I think, I don't even know where the story would go if Wayne was the person who was traveling with the Ghostbloods. But I almost fully believe, like, if that were the case, I think Wayne would be a Ghostblood right now, you know?
But I don't think that would have ever happened, because I get the vibe that Sanderson was like, I have this so outlined that I can't fit these characters into future outlines, so they need to be done here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Marcy can't show up in Stormlight 7, you know, as a Ghostblood. She needs to be done. And that was a little disappointing. Which, like, I get it, but for characters that I'd grown really attached to, I found it disappointing.
Yeah.
The Ghostbloods were cool, though.
Yeah, Ghostbloods were very cool. I pretty much enjoyed every single scene, like I said. Just anytime the Ghostbloods, we were in Marcy's chapters, like, we were getting information. Man, whenever we got Shy, dude, I, like, as soon as, like, the mention of, you know, her admiration for just, like, true art.
Yeah.
Like, once that was, like, said, I was like, I know exactly who the fuck this is. This is amazing.
Her name is Moonlight, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the scepter that she stole, the moon scepter. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I get it. Oh, and I think they made a mention of, like, her eyes being a specific shape, and I know they're supposed to be kind of, like, of Asian culture. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, yeah, this obviously doesn't make sense, you
and
know,
when her,
on this
her
planet.
And Hoid just, like, nod to each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, it's so good.
Oh, can I say another thing too, though? Yeah. I know we'll talk about Hoid later on. I don't know if you already have that plan, but that is another thing that whenever I look at this book and I think about just how Cosmere aware this book is, I was so disappointed with Hoid. I really was like, man, let's get some quality time with him. And, like, it seems like we're going to, especially in the very beginning. Like, we get Hoid within the first, like 5 or 6 chapters or something. And he shows up towards the end. But at the same time, it's like, he's just there. And he has a little conversation here and there with somebody. But, like, I personally was like, come on. Give us some, like, really, really good Hoid stuff. And then so, I just felt like we didn't get any.
No, yeah. I like the Hoid. I'm fine with the way that Hoid was used. in that I like the joke that he keeps showing up. And then he shows up in the boat at the end. I laughed.
But that's another thing. Like, it kind of made me chuckle, but I'm like, this is how we're going to fucking end this? Come on.
And this is what I'll tell you. If this book was published after Stormlight 5, I think Hoyt would be a fucking main character in this book. The problem is, I don't think Sanderson could get into Hoyt without spoiling the end of Stormlight, Era 1. Like, I just, because, like, if you spend too much time with him, where's design? What happened with Race? Where's Yasna? Like, it's just, Hoyt is too integral to Stormlight. And honestly, I think there's a world where Mistborn Era 2 ends after Stormlight 5, and it's a more satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there are parts of this book where you can tell that it's being held back because, and this is another thing, there's like parts of this book where it holds back because we have to press pause on the story because it's not time for Era 3 yet, where this stuff is really going to matter. There's other parts of the Cosmere storylines where you can see the story pressing pause specifically around Hoyt because we can't spoil the end of Stormlight 5. We need to wait longer.
Right.
And so, like, we had questions about why is Hoyt acting the way he does in this book? Or, no, not in this book, sorry, in the last couple books.
Yeah.
Right? And they can't answer that, I guess, because, like, I guess Sanderson doesn't want to get too into Hoyt without knowing what happens, like, without spoiling the end of Stormlight 5.
Sure, yeah.
Is what I have to assume it is, you know? Like, maybe Kelsier's in the epilogue of fucking Stormlight 5. And we see him make the medallion there that Wax gets the vision from. Maybe that's, I don't know, but like I don't know. That's how I felt about Hoyt. Was I was like, you just can't tell us anything about this character right now, can you?
Yeah.
Because you're it'll spoil your next Cosmere book.
Sure.
Well, your next big Cosmere book because of the secret projects. But
but the Ghostbloods in general.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy.
After
that was my fault. I started talking about that. But yeah, no, the Ghostblood seeing Shy, and then what's her name? Kaine?
Kaze is her name. Her name in this is code names.
Yeah, code names are stupid.
Yeah, and the real character is Kaze.
Yeah, Kaze, yes.
From fucking Elantris. Yeah. Why is the 7-year-old little girl from Elantris here? I can't believe that little girl was here. She's in her 20s now, so she's not a little girl anymore. But I'm like, why are you here? You were in a book 20 years ago, and you weren't even really that important in that book.
No, yeah. Or interesting, like, in any regard.
And you're like, here, doing shit. It's cool. Yeah. I liked it.
She's a cool character in this. Yeah. Definitely not. It's one of those, like, okay, here's where I'm going to start getting blindsided by a lot of... you know, here's some, like, you know, little plot twists here and there. And especially, too, with, I'm blanking on his name, but he's got the Aether. Twin Soul, dude.
Oh my God, dude. Twin Soul. Dude, Twin Soul. I so desperately want to see Twin Soul and a Knight Radiant go fucking.
Yes.
Like him in his weird crystal mech monster.
Oh,
right?
Man.
Like, with the crystal swords, like, fighting a Knight Radiant?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, that was another thing, too, that was like, okay, cool, we got a crystal monster, and then we don't see it, like, much at all after that.
He's like, so, I'm gonna fight, and then the fight happens off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, so cool.
They did that again to me. Mm-hmm. When Shy's like, I'm gonna become an Elantrian.
Yep. Yeah.
And then Marcy leaves, and we only hear what Shy does after that.
Yeah, right? And then we have, like, a short conversation with her, but it's like, man, I want to see a transformation happen.
Like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she can do that is insane.
Yes. And
she can just turn herself into an Elantrian.
But that means she could also turn herself, like, into anything from any planet.
Yeah.
Like, could she turn herself into an Aether?
Well, I think she could steal an Aether bond. I guess maybe she could turn herself into an Aether. I don't fucking know.
That's
maybe.
The thing. It's like, this is such a, like, the Cell magic. The magic that we have on Cell is fucking, like, give me Elantris 2 already. I want to know what this thing can really do.
So I will actually talk a little bit about the spoiler stream right here, because Sanderson said something that is along similar lines to this, where he said that if you had enough investiture and you went into a high storm on Roshar and your spiritual identity was rewritten to be a different species. Uh-huh. Like if you're a human and somebody, like, you get hypnotized or whatever, and you truly believe that you're a singer, mm-hmm. like your spirit, to the point where your spiritual identity is rewritten, mm-hmm. and you truly believed yourself to be a singer, if you go into a high storm with enough investiture, you would go through a transformation similar to the form transformation and come out a singer. Huh. Like, your species would change.
Interesting.
Which is, and he's like, the amount of investiture you would need to do that is insane. Like,
yeah, more than like just a jar.
So much. Yeah, yeah. But like, it's interesting because that's kind of, it's what's happening here with Shai, mm-hmm. right? Is she's rewriting her spiritual web with the stamp. So it's just interesting. We're getting into like some very weird usages of the magic yes. system.
Oh, but speaking of magic system too, and the way yeah. it's used, I know this is a little off topic of the Ghostbloods, but mm-hmm. one thing I really did like to see was the use of the alimantic grenades at the beginning.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
It was so cool. I loved it. Yeah. Just wanted yeah. to say that.
That was great. I also really liked getting to see some metals that we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
We got to yep. see Duralumin, which had been mm-hmm. a while since we'd seen that. Mm-hmm. I want to say there was one other one that got used that we hadn't seen in a while. Oh,
Nikrisil?
No, well, that, but also bronze?
Yeah. Probably.
Bronze got used to track wax.
Okay.
Which is, we there's a lot of metals we haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, cool to see some of this stuff again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, love Twin Cell, Twin Soul, loved Code Names, loved Shai. Can't believe the Aethers are finally canonized. Nothing about them.
We get a Silverlight character.
We do.
Dude.
We do. Oh. Which is awesome. We get Eitel's brother at the end.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. Eitel, like, ugh.
And it's like, now we have context that I guess Eitel is from Silverlight. Did we already know that or no?
He'd said it in Words of Brandon, but never in the books.
Okay. Well, this is new to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's canon now.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things. Hey, Words of Brandon aren't canon.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. That is you true.
Know, something got changed. He said at one point that there's a Chondra on Roshar during the first half of Stormlight that was working for Harmony. And that can't be the case because the first Chondra gets sent out at the end of this book with Milan. And he said in the spoiler stream, somebody asked him about that. And he was like, I don't know why I said that Chondra was working for Harmony. I shouldn't have. That's not true because Milan is the first one to go out. Right. Speaking of Milan.
What if we get a Milan Milan and Rock?
We have I don't know when she's gonna show up. Well, it has to be after Stormlight 5. It has to be in Stormlight 6 because this takes place after Stormlight 5.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So but maybe back half of Stormlight, Milan is just a fucking character in it.
I know. Dude.
You know? Like, who knows?
Crazy. Yeah.
That was another character that I wanted more from, but
yeah, no, she dipped in the beginning, and we saw her very briefly at the end, which was cool to see her at yes. the end, but I wanted to see her more in the whole book.
Milan, the opposite of the rest of the characters in this book, felt like she was in the outline further on, and so he needed to get her away to do the other outline stuff. Mm-hmm. To me, at least. It felt like, it was like, all right, time for you to leave Era 2 because I need to use you further in the Cosmere. Like
oh,
I
yeah.
feel like she's coming back. You know,
Sanderson definitely has a plan for Chondra,
yeah,
like, as a whole, I think.
Yeah.
They are such a unique species on Scadrial. Like, we're definitely going to see them on other planets, for sure.
The last, like, human character, and then I do want to talk about the two shards briefly, but, Kelsier.
Oh, yeah.
Kelsier's just, we just talked to him in this book. Which yeah. is nuts! I wasn't expecting that.
And, yeah. I guess I wasn't really expecting it. At the same time, too, like, with knowing that Kelsier is Thydakar.
Yeah.
You know, from the prologue that we, you know.
Yeah.
We had some information already that he is around and you can talk to him. And,
yeah.
You know. I guess I don't know. Also, and I saw y'all talking about this in the Discord. But
yeah.
I did, for some fucking reason, on the Audible audiobooks. You get the names of the POV characters.
Oh no.
So also in Audible, you know, there's you can look at included images and stuff.
Yeah.
Like PDFs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I got to see like the whole broadsheets from there as well, but also just through clicking around on Audible, I saw the chapters and saw that you know, part three is like really fucking long, and then I was like, whoa, and then I was like, how many chapters does this go? And then it was like Kelsier, Milan. I was like, what? So I kind of was like, okay, we'll see him eventually, whether it's, you know, just in an epilogue or we'll see him in the middle of the book, I don't know, but I'm anticipating on him.
I had expected him in the epilogue. I had not expected him to just show up in the middle of the book.
Yeah, and we get some good time with him, too, just in general. Every time that we get to talk to him, it's like, oh, wow, we are just... Here's Kelsier again. He's just back for this book. And
it also raises questions about him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have his fucking magic.
Oh, yes.
And they all think that he does.
Right.
And he kind of implies to them that he does. Like, he says, if we were above land, steel pushing would make this go faster. And in the epilogue, I'm like, you can't fucking steel push. Mm-hmm. What was that about? What were you saying to them about that?
Yeah.
Like, what?
I think this was definitely, I mean, of course we've heard from Brandon, you know, hey, Kelsier really isn't a great guy, you know?
Yeah.
And sure, you can see that in his character up until this point, but once you get his character in this book and you get that epilogue, that's whenever you're really kind of like, man, Kelsier, are you cool, bro? Like,
but
you all right, man?
What I love about that epilogue as well, though, and I think that epilogue is one of my favorite like chapters in a Sanderson book, Kelsier's epilogue specifically.
Oh, it's so good to see. Yeah,
is Kelsier's not okay, right?
Right.
But I'm reading it and I'm like, I'm reminded of how I felt in Final Empire. Right? Mm-hmm. When, you know, Kelsier in Final Empire, he's only a good guy because the bad guys are so bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you really get on his side. He really makes you want to get on his side.
Yeah, he's
really,
like wildly charismatic. Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as I'm back in his POV in this epilogue, I'm like, yeah, what is Caesar doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelsier, what is going on? What is. Yeah. Yeah. Fight. Yeah. Like, I'm like, punch God again.
Yeah, do it again. Like, yeah.
But
I was fully expecting that to happen too. Man.
But like, for real, what is Caesar doing? I'm so concerned.
Yeah, because, it's a little scary.
Cause like, have you heard that fucking the epigraph in Final Empire that's like his name will be Discord and they will love him for it? Like that epigraph is the chapter where Caesar is introduced.
Oh, dude, true.
Which Sanderson has said like that was not intentional, but
yeah,
it just
don't read too much
out
into it. Yeah,
but he's like, hey, it worked out real great, but I did not mean for that to be that way. But I obviously will get more says it in era three.
Yeah,
but I'm worried. I don't trust him. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't trust Caesar.
Oh well, I mean, the shards do change people, so
yeah. I don't trust Caesar, and I don't trust Kelsier. I don't trust either of them, but I trust Kelsier more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I trust a cognitive shadow more than a shard, I guess. You know, like, really quickly, Marsha's in this book just a little bit.
Very briefly,
which was cool. And I'm sure we're going to see more Marsh going forward. I feel like part of this book is to address the Marsh, like, hey, we got to make sure that he can stick around for era three.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I liked that because he got to come by at the end and see the statue, right?
Yeah. And no, he also, like, we did the Adium compounding thing where, like, they gave us the explanation for, like, how to make Adium and Laracium, which Caesar fucking lies to Kelsier about at the end. Kelsier's like, and we can't get any Laracium from it, right? And Caesar's like, right.
Right.
And it's liar, dude.
Yeah.
This is the second time you've done this to Kelsier, where you've lied to his face. Because he did it at the end of Secret History, too.
Yep.
Where Kelsier was like, hey, could you bring me back in like a body? And Caesar was like, nope. And it's like, you fucking liar.
And doesn't he straight up be like, have I ever lied to you?
At the end of this, he does.
Yeah.
He goes, would I ever lie to you or whatever, Kelsier? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. You've done it multiple times at this point.
Seriously.
So like, yeah, wild. Last character, character autonomy is autonomy's Trell.
No, that was that was a pretty cool reveal.
It was a pretty good reveal. This was the last preview chapter they posted, where Harmony is just like, by the way, Trell, Bavadin, autonomy. So that's why when we recorded the Bands of Mourning one, I was like, I can't talk about Trell.
Oh yeah, you were like, what do you think about Trell?
the last chapter that they put out for the preview before the book came out was Harmony spilling the beans on what the deal with Trell was.
Right.
But yeah, I think autonomy made sense. Like I liked the idea of like, exceptionalism, right? Is kind of the being the best individual that you can is how you get noticed by her. And that's kind of what Wax and Wayne, or fake Wax and fake Wayne, were doing, was like they were trying to be the most exceptional version of Wax and Wayne so that autonomy would like them.
Sure. Yeah.
And I like the seating for Trell, like the idea that autonomy seated Trell way in the past so that one day she would have a avatar that would take up that mantle. So like if Telson had succeeded, like Telson would have disappeared and Trell would have appeared and she would have been like, I'm Trell and I'm back. And like the idea being that Trell isn't a real thing. Don't know how the fuck that fits into White Sand, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure we'll probably get some sort of, we'll probably get more like books, whether they be comic books or novellas or whatever, that are on Taldane around that time. Because I feel like even Sanderson is understanding in that people mostly skipped that one. And people kind of look on that one less favorably. But just in general, as far as Trell and autonomy go in this story, I felt like it was something that we were really going to get a good look at maybe a little earlier in Era 2. But once we do get to see them in this book, it's kind of like, wait till Era 3 to really find out. And it's like, well, awesome.
Wait till the future of the Cosmere, which I think autonomy is going to be a major player in the future of the Cosmere. Like, that's kind of what this book sets up. Again, this series, this Era 2 ends up being a lot of setup.
Yeah. And I guess as we're kind of approaching towards the end too, because I still want to talk more about the words of Brandon and you know, the whole thing. But also, I just want to say too that I feel like whenever I was reading everything that was happening with the Ghostbloods and getting all of this Cosmere stuff, and like you were saying, at this point, to really get the most out of this book, you basically have to have read everything up to this point. And though that was kind of also the case for other books in the series, you could maybe omit some books or some series when talking about that. But at the same time, I'm not totally confident that I personally like how transparent the Cosmere was in this book.
Okay.
There's a piece of me that really enjoyed just being able to kind of get little, like, oh, ooh, I think I kind of see what Sanderson is doing there. I think I'm kind of making this little connection. And you could kind of piece this puzzle together, like, over time and kind of be in this crowd of people who are like, oh, I know, I like, because I read the books, like, I feel like I'm really being rewarded here. But then now you get to this book, and someone who has only read Mistborn Era 1 and Era 2, they'll get to this book, and they will be like, what the fuck is going on here? There's an entire arc here where I feel like I'm supposed to know something, but I don't. Whereas in previous books, I don't think there was any portion of that book where you would feel completely lost. You have to read everything up to this point to truly understand like who these people are, what they're doing, really what the Ghostbloods are and all this stuff. And as cool as it is, as someone who has knowledge of the other books, as nice as it is to get all this little information of the Cosmere, a piece of me is kind of like, but is this how transparent we are going to be going forward? Like, will there be any more piecing together? I mean, surely there has to be some, but that's kind of why I really loved the Cosmere connections of Rhythm of War. they were there, and there were some things that were just like said by name, but like it felt like just the right amount of Cosmere stuff in that book. Whereas this is almost like overkill. And I understand that Brandon Sanderson's like, okay, the gloves are off.
Yeah.
Now it's all Cosmere going forward. Like from this point on, if you're reading the books, you have to know everything. Like go back and buy all my other books if you want to understand what I'm currently writing. And it's like, okay, cool. I don't know. Just a piece of me is kind of like, man, I wish maybe we dialed it back just a little bit in this book. And it makes me a little worried kind of going forward for other future books. Cause I don't know. I feel like I'm going to miss that piece of just, I don't know, the little tidbits of picking up these little breadcrumbs that he's putting down. But now it's like, he's not even putting down breadcrumbs anymore. He's like, here's a whole loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, eat up. And it's like, okay. I don't know. It just feels a little weird to me, and it makes me feel conflicted about this book.
Mm. I think I'm okay with that going forward. I think this was the wrong time to start doing it, is where I've settled. I don't think it should have been this book. I think Era 2 and Stormlight 5 should have finished out the same way that it's always been. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, if it was time to like, if it was like, all right, after this point, because we're getting to the point in the Cosmere timeline where they are just interacting a lot more, like, I would have rather there had been some clean breaks before it got super Cosmere, instead of, like, the end of Era 2 is super Cosmere, right? If it had been, like, you can read Mistborn all the way through Era 2. You can read the first 5 Stormlight books. You can read Warbreaker. You can read Elantris. And you can read all of those independently. Mm-hmm. But stop there. Because if you start Mistborn Era 3, if you start Stormlight 6, if you start Elantris 2 or whatever, like, at that point,
you're
going to
want all that knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird that it starts at the end of a...
of a whole arc, of like a whole
era. Of an arc,
era.
Instead of letting that wrap out and then starting fresh the next time with, like, all right, gloves are off now.
Okay, you know? I think this is where I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, I agree. I think that this was the weirdest spot to throw all of that stuff in.
Yeah.
Because now it's like you have people who have either A, only read Mistborn, or B, only read Stormlight Archive. If you're someone who's only read Stormlight Archive up to this point, sure, there's some Cosmere stuff that you're probably going to want to know going into the final book. But odds are, up until this book came out, you could safely kind of assume there's going to be some Cosmere stuff, but I feel like you can safely go into reading Stormlight 5 and be someone who has only read Stormlights 1 through 5 and have this complete little package and not feel like you're missing a whole lot. But now you have this book, and it's the end, like you said, it's like book 4 of this quintilogy or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is at this point where it's like, you know, we've had little tidbits of Cosmere stuff up to this point, and things have kind of been getting a little, you know, you can kind of piece it together bit by bit. But now it's like, okay, actually, if you really want to enjoy, I know you've enjoyed Era 1, I know you've enjoyed Era 2 up to this point, but if you actually want to enjoy this, you're going to have to read everything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you're now?
Right now, in the middle of the story or whatever?
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, cool, I just learned that now I have to read everything before I can actually finish this story that I've been invested in for a long time. And to me, that's kind of where I'm like, this, it just doesn't feel right in this book.
And I think if I was a bigger Era 2 fan, I would be right there with you, because I'll tell you, if Stormlight 5 is like this, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Like, I'm going to be mad. If there's a whole part of Stormlight 5 where it's like, hey, this is fucking a Cosmere book and not just wrapping out Stormlight, I'm gonna be mad, because I'm gonna be like, come on, dude, just let me finish this story, you know, like let me like finish the first 5 and then, you know, wrap out, answer these questions, keep it like the Roshar story, right? And that, like, I was entertained reading this book. Shadows of Self is my favorite Brandon Sanderson book, but Alloy of Law and Bands are a good bit lower, right? So I've never been the biggest Era 2 fan where it's like my favorite thing ever. But so like, so I think I was able to handle a big shift at the very end.
I think that's why I also, going back to what I said at the beginning, this book feels like it's missing its identity. It doesn't really know exactly what it is. Is it a Mistborn Era 2 book? Sure, technically. Is it a Cosmere as a whole book? Absolutely it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's having a hard time balancing the two, because you could say the same thing for Stormlight Book 4. Is mm-hmm. it the fourth Stormlight book? Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Does it have connections to the Cosmere? You bet your ass it does, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
but you can enjoy it. It doesn't overpower. And it's like, it just fits perfectly. And like you're saying, with just not being that much of an Era 2 fan, I'm kind of in the same boat. And I'm kind of like, man, this era, we're all the way up to this point now. And it almost feels like he's trying to like buy our trust. You know, he's trying he's trying to like, you know, give us gifts to like win us over, to win our love over. And I'm like, you can't just throw the Cosmere in Era 2 and that means Era 2 is good now. Come on. Like, I don't, not that I think Era 2 is bad, but it just kind of feels like this is how we're going to really win people over with Era 2. And I'm like, if anything, it just makes me really disappointed with what Era 2 really could have been. I don't know.
It feels like if Secret History had been part of Hero of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
If you took the Kelsier plotline from Secret History, which is happening pretty much concurrently with Hero of Ages for the most part, there's a little bit that happens beforehand, but
yeah,
majority of the book takes place during Hero of Ages. If you put that into Hero of Ages, I think you get the Lost Metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this book might have been better if you released Secret History 2 and it involved the Morrissey plotline, like as a separate thing. But I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Speaking of Secret History 2.
Let's talk did he talk about it?
He did talk about Secret History 2.
Okay. What'd he say?
He wants to write it eventually.
Yeah, of course.
Secret History 2 would show the origins of the set and the ripple effects of the things that Kelsier is doing in Secret. So yeah, the ripple effects of the things that Kelsier is doing in Secret History 2 would lead to the founding of the set. The set forming is Kelsier's fault, is what he said during the spoiler stream. Kelsier would not consider it his fault, but the set is formed because of things that he did. And he talked a little bit about, so he was continuing to be cagey about Bloody Tan. He still wouldn't really say what was happening there. And they asked about how the set learned about Hemalurgy. And he said autonomy helped the set learn about Hemalurgy, but that the set also interrogated somebody on world. I think they interrogated Spook. I think Kelsier taught Spook all about Hemalurgy, and then Spook got nabbed, and the set interrogated him, and they learned it from him.
So where does that leave Spook?
He said, so he also talked about, somebody asked him about 16 from Rhythm of War. Do you remember 16?
Oh, yes.
And he said, 16 is from Scadrial.
Yo!
What if 16 is Spook? Like, after being tortured by the set, what if he fucking dipped?
That's honestly, for me, the mystery of who 16 was one of the most interesting Cosmere mysteries to me. So I'm like, that's one thing that I absolutely remember just like wanting an answer to. But knowing that he is from Scadrial, or, you know, they whatever, it's like, whoa. Oh, what if it's Spook, though? What if it's Spook?
But that is what he said about Secret History 2, that it would be about the formation of the set and that the set forming is Kelsier's fault.
And then we get like a scene with 16.
It'd be great.
And then, but like the way we find out is because he talks like wasn't the way of needing or whatever. Like, you're like, whoa.
But yeah, he said, I really want to write Secret History 2 soon. But the way he talked about it, I don't want to hope. I dare not hope, Gavin.
Don't do that.
But the way he talked about it, part of me was like, did you already fucking write that thing? Part of me in my head, he's talking about it, and I'm like, is it going to fucking come out next December or something to round out this year of Sanderson?
Yeah, I mean, like, the man already clearly knows what it will be.
Like, you know? And he seemed like he really was like, these answers are gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
In a way where, like, he bordered the line of, like, hey, hopefully I can write this. But also, like, there's other wobs from Dragonsteel where people were asking about Kelsier, and he was like, you'll have the answer to that soon. Perhaps sooner than you think. And I was like, that, like those answers were not, or those questions were not answered in.
Oh my God, what if this motherfucker's like, Merry Christmas.
Lost metal. Like,
then okay, gives us, but also, gives it to us this year.
I don't want to get hyped, Gavin, but he also said that he's doing a stream on his birthday. Jesus. He's doing like a Q&A stream on his birthday. So maybe he just, maybe, and he said he just needs to finish signing Words of Radiance leatherbound copies. So that could be it. That he just, he, doing an extra stream because he wants to sign, you know, the fucking last leather. I dare not hope, Gavin. I dare not hope. But
it's just like how he can't keep getting away with this. He cannot just continue to just have surprise. And it's like, eventually there's not going to be enough surprises. But then it's like, no, there's always another secret.
The thing that makes me think that, the thing that makes me think that it exists is that the set's origins were just completely devoid of this book. Like he talks about it like it's a big deal and he knows it all and he knows what happened. But it's like, it's not in the fucking book, so why do you know all this? Yeah. Like, unless you fucking wrote it. You know? Like I don't know. And I dare not hope again. Like don't expect it. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't expect it to happen.
At least we can at least confidently say, I mean, I think with certainty that it's not going to be nearly as long of a wait as Secret History was to Mistborn Book 3.
We'll probably
get it before
then. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it'd be crazy if it fucking came out a couple months later, or if it came out like, because like
this year month.
Well, the year of Sanderson. Well, yeah, and the year of Sanderson next year, like the last Secret Project book comes out in October. Mm-hmm. So like the last Skyward book comes out in November, so maybe that's the end of the year of Sanderson. But like, what if next December he's like, boom, we're ending the year of Sanderson with a shebang. Here's Secret History 2.
Yeah, you know, or at least like some announcement that at the start of 2024.
Yeah,
you can get that.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I have just a little bit more just on autonomy.
Yeah.
So the men of gold and red.
Oh, yeah.
He says that they are at least partly from a world that we already know.
Okay.
So here is my, not my theory. This is the theory that I've seen other people put forward. And after this answer, I think it's right.
Okay.
And that the men of red and gold are Irriali.
Irriali.
From Stormlight, because they're the people that are like, they come from world to world. They're like, they're following the path. This is the fourth land. Like Roshar is like the fourth land for them or whatever, but they've been to other places before is the idea. And the men, they talk about the men of gold and red in Morrissey's last chapter when she's seeing through the perpendicularity or whatever. And the way they're described, like with gold hair, I'm like, you know who knows? You know who has gold hair in the Cosmere? The Irriali do.
Yeah.
Like,
interesting.
That's really the only race that does. So, like, this idea that perhaps the Irriali aren't just traveling the Cosmere to travel or whatever to find a home. But what if they're fucking like sleeper agents for autonomy?
Oh, interesting.
Spreading throughout the Cosmere. And autonomy can just fucking activate them on certain planets.
Yeah. And just,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting. No, that's an interesting theory for sure. Yeah.
But, and the last thing I'll say about autonomy is somebody pointed out that the whole self-betterment and like, in like the, like, being the best version of yourself that you can be rings very similar to how the Shudareth on Cell operate.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And Sanderson just started to smile really big. And he was like, he snapped his fingers at the camera and didn't, he just,
Wow.
And he was like, book two of Elantris is going to begin with the return of Yedeth, of the god.
Oh, what?
And so this idea that possibly Yedeth is another avatar of autonomy that was seated in religion in the same way that Trell was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's why Elantris is so important. Is yeah. Because autonomy has also seeded. And like, it would be crazy, right? It would be insane, Gavin, if the first two books that Sanderson ever published both included gods in the history of the world that were both planted by a future big bad that would become apparent 20 years later.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Trell is mentioned in The Final Empire and was yep. seated there by autonomy. If Yedeth has also been seated by autonomy and is also going to end up being an avatar and was seated in Elantris in 2005?
Yeah.
Like,
how did he give a time frame for how, like, I guess the time skip from Elantris 1 to Elantris 2?
He was asked about it. He said they're not talking about the timeline until they really get it nailed down. He okay. thinks it's a while, but well, it can't be that long because he said he isn't. They're not going to nail down the timeline until they've got it nailed down. So they're not going to say anything until then. But that it can't be that long because Kay's in this book is in her 20s, and she's 7 in Elantris 1, so yeah. she needs to start world hopping within the next 20 years after Elantris, yeah. so that she can get that agelessness, you know?
Sure, sure.
Like, she can't age that much past her early 20s before going and world hopping and
okay.
becoming ageless.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, that's what those were, he said a bunch of other things, but those are the things that were most relevant to this book. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up, this episode, Gavin, can you give me like a rating out of 5 for this book and then like Era 2 as a whole?
Yeah. So for this book, I think I would give it a 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think I would also just give Era 2 like a 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe slightly lower than it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 2.8. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, I don't know. I feel like I said, I have some things that I really like about this book, but I feel like for the most part, I've been fairly negative of it. And that kind of also just goes into what we were talking about earlier of just like this can't be the thing that people are going to be like, oh, he's the goat now. It's like, I know, guys, come on. Like there are some clear issues with this book in Era 2 as a whole, in my opinion. So I'm kind of like, well, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think Brandon Sanderson is clearly, his sights are set elsewhere, and he's trying to get our sights set elsewhere as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's really trying to hype up Era 3 and the finale of Stormlight, you know, Era 1 or whatever. So, I don't know. As far as it feels a little supplemental. Like, it's supposed to be this mainline thing, but it feels like a side story at the same time. Like, it just doesn't feel, I don't know. It's, like, hard to put into words. Just, like, the more I think about it, I think I really liked it a lot more. Like, I think if you were to ask me how I feel about the book, like, right whenever I had just read it, I would say it's, like, a 4.5, you know? Era 2, like, as a whole, I'd be like, yeah, no, this was actually a lot better than I initially thought that it was. But now I'm thinking maybe I initially thought it was better than what I actually think it is.
Yeah.
Like maybe now I'm thinking, man, maybe Era 2 really was just kind of mid. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hurts to say, but honestly, that's what I'm feeling right now. So yeah, it's like a 3 out of 5.
So when I initially rated this on my Goodreads, I gave it a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through our conversation, I decided I'm going to have to drop it to a 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
I agree with you on so much of it, although I think it landed a little bit better for me than it did for you. Mm-hmm. Cause I think it's a solid 3 out of 5. I don't think I'd put it any lower. Era 2 as a whole,
I'll say it's a 3 out of 5. Yeah. I don't think it's okay. lower. It's a 3 out of 5 for me.
Era 2 as a whole, I think is a 3 out of 5 if you take Shadows of Self out. But again, Shadows of Self is one of my favorite books I've ever read. It's my favorite Brandon Sanderson book. Right. And that alone raises it to
3.5.
I got to stick with solid numbers.
Okay.
I'd give Era 2 4 out of 5. I liked it at least. And that's kind of where I like for 3 out of 5, for me, 3 out of 5 is like, it was whatever. Like, that's like the meh category.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would reread all 4 of these books and I think have a good time, which is what I think puts it just above at, just above.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yes, Gavin, thank you so much for joining me on this long road to the Lost Metal.
And absolutely.
We did it. We did it.
We finally did it.
We finally did it. Look at us. I can't wait to see you in 2024 for the road to Stormlight Archive.
I know. It's going to be awesome. We'll just go through all of them.
Yeah, that would be a slightly bigger endeavor.
Yeah, we would have to do Elantris. We'd have to do Mistborn Era 1. Go through Warbreaker.
Yeah,
all the short,
oh God,
the short
I really
stories.
Hope not. I really hope not. Plug yourself away. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, I've been Gavin, and you can find me on YouTube. My YouTube channel is Overleveled Games. Recently, I've just been taking more time to kind of come up with rankings or top 10 stuff or reviews or just quick thoughts and stuff like that. I'm trying to be more active on YouTube, like I had said in the last episode. I just recently published a ranking video of the worlds in the first Kingdom Hearts game. So if that's something that you're interested in, check that out. I'm also working on my top 10 favorite PS2 games, as well as my ranking of the Metal Gear Solid series. And I know there's no way that this is going to be up before the Game Awards, but I'm planning on streaming.
Yeah, no.
I'm planning on streaming that so you can see all my reactions for whenever they announced the Kingdom Hearts 4 release date. And, you know, like all of that good stuff whenever they announced the Brandon Sanderson Mistborn video game. Yeah, my reactions were top notch. They were top tier. Go ahead and give those a look. Share those. It was awesome. But anyways, that's really it. You can also find me on Twitter at OverleveledCast. I also have a podcast that is on hiatus right now, but I have some work on there that I'm really proud of. So go ahead and give that a listen too. And I know Sean will put all of that in the description. So yeah, dude, thank you so much for having me on, man. This was a blast. This was a really fun read. All of these books are awesome. I love reading all these books. even if they're just 2 or 3 out of 10s, like they're all great. Okay. They're all good.
They're all good. Don't worry, guys. We went a little harder on this book, but
there was a lot riding on it. Okay.
Yeah, it was there was a lot riding on it. It was the finale to an era. And you know what? I still had a good time reading it.
Yeah.
At least,
yeah,
you know,
oh, absolutely.
I think is the most important, you know, I wasn't reading it like, what the fuck, you know? Like,
yeah, no, there were you know? There were lots of pog moments. I promise you that.
It's not like Well of Ascension where I stopped reading Sanderson for about 6 months afterwards.
Sure.
Because I was like, what the fuck was that? You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. This podcast is on Twitter at SpeakStormlight. You can email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. Join our Discord server. The link is in the episode description. Also, our cover art was done by a good friend of the show, Alex, at Alex_BigBoy. I'm thinking I want to commission Alex to do Silverlight Studies art as well, but I gotta figure out what I want for that first. But the Speak the Words art is incredible. And also, guys, listen to Speak the Words. It's like the flagship show on this feed, I guess.
Yeah.
We're in Oathbringer right now, and things are getting spicy. So I know, it's exciting. I will see you guys, if not before Secret Project 1 releases, I will definitely see you when I'm going to do another one of those live, like, I'm going to record my reading of Secret Project 1 or whatever, like I did for Lost Metal. So you guys will definitely see that coming up in the next few weeks. Thanks as always. And I'll catch you guys then.
All right. End it strong, Sean.
I'm ending it. That's
no,
it.
No, no, no. End it strong. What's the send off?
Hang on. Hold on. I thought I had a...
Wow. Just like Era 2.
Oh no. This is it. Yeah.
Ending it off with a bang. Just like Era 2.
I'm going to the beyond now. Bye.
Okay.